Good morning. Get your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. We'll be continuing in our study, Discovering Jesus, Embracing His Ways. And this morning we're going to talk about accepting His ransom. You know, if it wasn't for Jesus, where would we be? Where would any of us be if we didn't have the Lord in our hearts?
Right.
I'll tell you where we would be. We would be lost in this world. We would be wandering aimlessly through this world, not knowing where we'd go. On a cold winter day, Gabriel Estrada, a high school senior in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, did the unthinkable. When his 17-year-old girlfriend secretly gave birth to a baby boy on January 15, 2002, she dressed it and asked him to deliver it to a church. Instead, Gabriel wrapped the baby in a canvas bag and left him in a portable toilet in a nearby park to die. But against incredible odds, the baby was saved. According to police, there was virtually no chance the infant would survive. Temperatures were well below freezing. Lack of snow meant the nearby sledding hill would not be visited by kids, and the sanitation company's scheduled pickup at the porta potty was days away. Village of Twin Lakes police credit a father and son for saving the child's life. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon on January 16th, a father, wishing to remain anonymous, and his young son stopped at the abandoned Westside Park in need of a bathroom break. Hearing a whimpering sound coming from the porta potty, they knew something was wrong. They called 911 to report what they had discovered. When Officer Randy Purdock responded to the call, he pulled the canvas bag from the outdoor toilet and raced to nearby Burlington Memorial Hospital, where the baby received emergency treatment. There's no way he would have survived that, Purdock said. That little guy had somebody watching over him. As a new testament to the new baby boy's survival, the nurses at the hospital named the baby William Grant. William for the will to live, and Grant for not taking life for granted. On a grander scale, another father and son rescue team interceded on behalf of a doomed humanity. Listen, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 1 through 6. Paul writes, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message you've given me today, Lord. And we pray, God, that it would help people understand that without Jesus and that ransom he paid, we would all be in a devil's hell today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to bring your word. We thank you, Lord, for those that came out today. We pray for those that were not able to come out. And we ask you, Lord, that you would go with us and give me the spirit inside of me that I may preach your word in an understandable way and that I might do these things for your honor and your glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
To free us from a life of sin and damnation, a ransom had to be paid. The only payment that would suffice was the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We want to look first at the ransom given as a gift of love. A ransom given as a gift of love. Most of us are familiar with what has been called the golden text of the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That one scripture, everyone learns from a small age. They learn that, and it helps them realize that God, in his infinite wisdom, loved the whole world, and that he sent his only Son to die on the old rugged cross. He did that so that we might have the ransom that was necessary to pay our sin debt and bring us into relationship with God. Listen, my friend, there was a great chasm that was caused by Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden, separating them from their God. But that chasm was closed when Jesus died on the cross. That chasm was closed, and that when that veil was rent from top to bottom, it gave us the necessary ability to go to God in prayer without the need of a priest.
Amen.
Many people still confess to a priest today, and they think they've got to confess to this priest so that their sins can be forgiven. That's not true. You have the ability as a Christian today, as that veil rent from top to bottom, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, that was a symbol that no longer would a priest need to go behind the veil to take people's prayers back there.
Yeah.
It was a sign that we could go to God on our own, and we could pray to him through the prayers of our people, reach God. And they reach God when we pray in Jesus' name. Listen, my friend, what kind of a father offers up his son as a sacrifice? Answer, one who knows that only by giving up his son will the world have a chance to be saved. Let me ask you a question. If you could give up your child in order to save millions of people and millions of lives on earth, would you? Would you give your only son to save a wretch like me? Would you give your son to save a world that turned their back on you? Listen, the Bible tells us this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ sent his son to die for us. While we were yet sinners, while we were sinning, while we were down in the valley, while we were away from God, God sent his son to die for you and I. That is a special father in all our that we could wish for. If we could give up our child to save millions of lives, none of us would do it. God did it for you and for me and for all who would come and accept His Son as their personal Savior. God loved us so much that He gave up His only Son. While it is hard for us to understand all of the ramifications of this truth, one thing is very clear. The motivation was clearly love. Listen to John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world. That statement, God so loved the world, a world that was drenched in sin, a world that was against God, a world that was going their own way, God still loved them. That's love. That's a love that no one knows the capability of that love. Even though we walked away from God, He went to the most extreme measures to bring us back to Himself. The results of God's loving act was the opportunity for us to have eternal life. He said that all we need to do is place our trust and our belief in His Son. That's so simple, many people think it's too simple. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. Come and accept Him as Lord of your life. Yeah. It's so simple. Many people try to make it impossible for people to be saved. The Bible says that all we have to do, accept Jesus, confess our sins, and accept Him as Lord of our life. It's so simple. It's so simple a child can understand. Secondly, a ransom given as payment for our sin. Whenever someone is kidnapped, he is demanded for payment. When the payment is made, the kidnapper promises to set the person free. Jesus was not kidnapped or held hostage. We were by our sin. Jesus was the payment that had to be made for us to be released from the bondage of our sins held us in. Until that payment was made, we cannot be set free. The Bible says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of the Father." Notice this. Grace be unto you. Paul says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself." Think about that. Jesus gave Himself. He wasn't forced to do it. He willingly gave His life. He willingly went to the cross. He did this because He knew that His sacrifice, His ransom, would be the only ransom that would be satisfactory to God to forgive us of all of our sin. Listen, the Bible also says, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Notice that scripture. Looking for the blessed hope of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. He gave Himself for us that we might be redeemed from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Look at the list of things Jesus' payment of Himself gained for us. Deliverance from our sin. Deliverance from this evil age. Deliverance from lack of self-control. a newfound purity, an unquenchable desire to do good works for the kingdom. Listen, in her book, Because He Loves, How Christ Transforms Our Daily Life, author Elise Fitzpatrick writes this, just in case you're unaware, identity theft occurs when someone steals your name and other personal information for fraudulent use. Most of us are dismayed by this new cyber age crime, and we wouldn't assume that the theft of another person's identity is acceptable behavior. The surprising reality, however, is that the Christians are definite people who have someone else's identity. They are Christians because they have taken the identity to someone else, then that is Christ Jesus. Not only have we been given the identity that we weren't born with and that we didn't earn the right to use, but you're invited to empty the checking account and use all the benefits this identity brings. Do you realize you're going to sit in authority in heaven? We are joint heirs with Christ to the very throne of God. Do you realize that you're going to judge angels? Do you realize that you're going to sit and a seat of authority when you get to heaven? All of this is because our identity has been changed. We are no longer who we were. We are now called Christian. That means Christ-like. Christians. We are all Christians now if you've given your heart to Christ. We all have a new identity. We no longer belong to anyone except Jesus. Listen, there is so much better than identity theft and an identity gift. Thank God that Jesus was willing to pay the price to set us free. But there's something more I want to cover. A ransom given as our replacement. A ransom given as our replacement. Listen, Jesus not only paid the price for our redemption with his own life, he also substituted his life for our own. What took place on the cross has been referred to as the divine exchange. His righteousness in exchange for our sin. Have you ever thought about that? Christ's righteousness in exchange for our sin. That substitution took place when Christ died on the cross. That substitution was given by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul said, "For he hath made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteous of God in him." Think about that. Christ never sinned. He had no sin in his life. He knew no sin. That we may be made the righteous of God in him. You have the righteousness of God now applied to your life. You have a new body. You have a new seed down in your heart. And that seed is the seed of God. Think about that. Christ exchanged all he had for your benefit. Think about that. Christ became a sacrifice. He became our substitute. He became our replacement. It wasn't just that Jesus gave his life. He also took upon himself all the sins of humankind. Sins past, present, and future. He had the weight of all sins that ever will be committed upon his shoulders. When he died on the cross, he received the punishment for sin that each of us deserve. Although Jesus did not sin, he bore our sins on Calvary. Think about that. A man that had never sinned, he had walked this earth 33 and a half years, never committed any sin, went to the cross and bore your sin for you, so that you would not have to answer for your sins when you die. Think about that for a moment. That is a very important fact. When Jesus died, he took all of the sin upon himself on the cross. That's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God turned his back on Jesus when he had all the sins of the world placed on him. Amen. Think about this, my friend. Your sin, my sin, all the world's sin was placed on Jesus when he died on the cross. Not just part of the sin, all of our sin. He bore our sins on Calvary. John Stott wrote this, "The concept of substitution lies at the heart of both sin and salvation. For the essence of sin is a man substituting himself for God, while the essence of salvation is God substituting himself for man. Jesus' act of substitution was done on behalf of every man, woman, and child in the world. But only those who accept him as Lord and Savior receive the benefit of what he has done for them on their behalf." Jesus said this, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus himself said, "I give him my life for a ransom for many." He said this before he ever went to the cross. Think about this. Jesus knew why he came. He knew why he was born. He knew why he came into this life. He came to this life to die. He was born to die. And he died for you. He paid that ransom. He paid that cost for you to get to heaven. He paid your sin debt so that you might be made the righteous of God. He also said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. I can't speak for anyone else, but I cannot think of a better proposition than this one. In exchanging my sin, my spiritual death, my distorted way of living, for Jesus' promise of life, purity, and an eternity with God in my future." Think about this. Christ died on the cross. He took all of your guilt, all of your sin, all of your shame, everything that you had, and he removed it from you completely. And he cast it as far as the east is from the west. And the Bible said he cast it in the depths of the sea. Listen to this. And he will remember it no more. God is the only being in this life that can forget everything. You can't forget. You may forgive someone, but you'll never forget what they did to you. Think about this. God is the only one that can cast our sins into the depths of the sea and remember them no more. He doesn't think about it. He doesn't remember them. He doesn't have anything to do with them anymore. Listen, how many of us would do that for someone else? How many of us would send our son to the cross and hang by his hands and his feet on the cross of Calvary so that a weary, sinful nation could be saved? How many of us would have done that? Let me tell you, none of us. None of us would give our child for a ransom for a lost and dying world. But God did. Fourthly, and lastly, a ransom given as a remembrance. The Capitol Dog in Sacramento, California, serves up the ultra dog, the world's most expensive hot dog, listen, at $145.99. In Scotland, you can order a bottle of End of History beer, Belgium ale, packaged inside taxidermy squirrel carcass for $800 to $1,100 per bottle. The Westin Hotel in New York City offers a white truffle bagel that sells for about $1,000. For $1,000, New York City also boasts the Golden Opulence Sunday, which includes rare cocoa beans harvested off the coast of Venezuela. At $2,000 a slice, or $16,000 per pie, you can enjoy Britain's Wagyu meat pie and its savory combination of 6 pounds of Kobe beef and mastic mushrooms, which sell for $910 per pound. There is a meal that is much greater value than any of these. It is the meal where we remember the ransom price that Jesus paid for us on Calvary. It is called the Lord's Supper or Communion. It was instituted by Christ Himself. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, I want to show you where Christ instituted the Lord's Supper. That supper that is more valuable than the list of things I read. $16,000 for a pie. Listen, $2,000 for a slice. $1,000 for a white truffle bagel. Listen, $145 for a hot dog. The Lord's Supper is much more valuable than all of those things. Why? It is because that is where we remember the Lord's ransom and the Lord's price He paid for us. Luke 22, look down in verse 19. And He took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Listen, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He instituted a supper that's more valuable than all of the things I read to you. A $145 hot dog, a $9,000 pie. The Lord's Supper is more valuable than any of those. Why? Because it is Christ's shed blood. When we take the Lord's Supper, we drink of the grape juice and the sign of His blood. We take of the crackers as a sign of His broken body on Calvary. Listen, that is more valuable than all the food in the world. It is more valuable than any expensive car. It is more valuable than the most precious mansion that's ever been built. Listen, these things that Christ done for us, the ransom he paid for us, is more valuable than anything in the world. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you don't understand the ransom Jesus paid for you. But I'm going to try to tell you that ransom he paid for you paid your sin debt. It made a way for you to get into heaven. It made a way for you to get close to God. It paid that price that you might be made a child of God. That, my friend, is worth it all. Jesus never wanted us to forget the great price that would be paid on our behalf. So he memorialized it in this wonderful way of the Lord's Supper. Every time we partake of the bread and the juice, we are proclaiming our allegiance to the one who paid it all, so we could be with him forever. Listen, my friend, Jesus paid the debt that we couldn't pay. He paid that debt that we couldn't pay. You couldn't pay for your sin. You couldn't pay for your sin debt. Only Christ could pay for it. You couldn't have forgiveness of your sin. Only Christ, as he died on the cross, could forgive you of all your sin. Think about that. You lived, and there's not a one of us here that didn't need salvation. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. That word all means everyone. The greatest person on the earth, the greatest person that thinks they're perfect, and the lowest person on the totem pole, it includes everyone. All of us. All of us have sinned. All of us need the ransom that Jesus paid. All of us need the price he paid on Calvary for the price of our sin. Listen, I'm so glad that Jesus loved us enough to give himself as a ransom. He paid the price that we could never pay. He paid it for the people who did not deserve it. In fact, he did it for people who didn't deserve it at all. Think about that. We didn't deserve anything. I hear people all the time say, God owed me. God doesn't owe you anything. He created you, but he doesn't owe you anything. God gave you his son. He sent his son to die on the cross so that you might be set free from your sin and that you might be made a child of God. Think about that for a minute. Even with all your sin and disobedience, Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to pay the ultimate price. Now our job is to share the message of Jesus' ransom to everyone who has yet to accept him, his gift of eternal life. It has been freely given to us. Now it's to us to give it to others. Listen, my friend. God gave you an indescribable gift. He gave you his son, so that you might be rated the righteous of God in him. He gave you all that you need to go to heaven. He gave you all that you need to be made righteous. He gave you all that you need to be made holy. God gave that to you. He didn't owe you anything. He gave it to you. By his mercy, he saved you. Mercy, and by his grace, he gave you all these things. Think about that for just a minute. Think about what God has done for you. God sent his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Think about that. All we've got to do is accept Jesus as a Lord and Savior, and we automatically inherit eternal life. It's that simple. It's not hard. It's that simple. All you have to do is confess your sins to Jesus and accept the fact that he was died on the cross, rose again the third day, and that he ascended to the Father in heaven. It's that simple. All you have to believe that Jesus died for your sin and he will save you. It's that simple, my friend. It's that simple. This ransom and this gift has been freely given to us. Now it is up to us to freely give it to others. Are you ready to start doing that today? The only way some people will ever know is if you and I are willing to offer this message of redemption to them. Many people today will never know the love of God. Many people will never know what God has done for them unless we spread the gospel to them. It's so important we realize that you may be the only gospel someone ever sees. You may be the only voice that they ever hear telling them about the love of Jesus, telling them about what God has done for you. And that, my friend, is our responsibility. That, my friend, is our commission from God. Go and tell all the world about Jesus. Go and tell them about the ransom he paid. Go and tell them about the love he has for them. Go and tell them that Jesus wants them to come into relationship with him. My friend, we have a great responsibility that was given to us by Christ when he left this world. To go, tell people about me. Go, tell them about the sacrifice I paid. Go, tell them about the love I have for them. Go, tell them about the mercy I shed on this world by my sacrifice on the cross. Go and tell them about me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and bring your word today. We pray, God, that this message has went out in a way that's pleasing unto you, that everyone here will realize that Jesus paid the ransom for all of us, and that we need to share it with the world that we live in. Help us to be that kind of person. Help us to be a witness for you. Help us to tell people about the Jesus who came, gave his life freely, and died on the cross so that we may be made righteous. Help us in everything we do. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.